This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Every year for more than three decades, Ira David Wood III played Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. That changed last year. Ira discovered he had a heart murmur while preparing for his 36th year as Scrooge. When he found out he'd need heart valve replacement surgery, Ira turned the reins of A Christmas Carol over to his son and daughter. The surgery was successful, and A Christmas Carol went off without a hitch in Ira's absence. But his newly heightened awareness of the fragility of life changed him. In the aftermath of his surgery, Ira decided he wanted to write a book, and he had no time to waste. He turned out a story for baby boomers called Confessions of an Elf, and it's labeled a tell-all book written by one of Santa's own North Pole elves. Ira David Wood III is here with us to tell us more. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Nice to be here.
And do tell us more about what this book is about.
Hopefully, it's a guide for baby boomers on how to rediscover some of the joy and wonder of the holiday season. The elf wrote it to bring people up to date on Santa Claus. The elf's opinion was that the 21st century world needed to update its image of Santa, and he's broken the elfin code of silence to bring us up to date.
To tell it, at one point in the book, there's this concern by the elf that everybody asks for all these things at Christmas, and nobody ever asks for anything they need. It's only
exactly.
things they want. And this idea of disordered desire, I think, is very strong in the book. It came to you as a result of the surgery? This was a kind of real moment for you.
It was. I think, you know, intellectually, we know we're all on borrowed time. And that lives with you, but it's a distance away. And when you go through something like that where they actually stop your heart, I mean, that's it. And you come out of something like that, it's visceral from that point on. You just walk around with it. It's part of everything you do. Colors are brighter for me. Food tastes better. Water is delicious. I just can't tell you how wonderful it is to be alive. And I had to learn the hard way, I guess. But I wanted to kind of take some of those feelings and communicate them through the elf and through this book.
Take us back to the chain of events, or maybe better, the chain of thoughts that occurred to you. First, you hear the murmur. Here, it's November. You know, Scrooge is coming up. It's a Christmas Carol. You can't tell me this now. I mean, how is that going for you as you had to kind of ratchet or change the way you thought about your role at Christmas?
Well, I was literally going to try to sneak through it. you know, that's our first impulse. I just deny it. And I thought, okay, I will do a Christmas Carol, and then I'll take care of business. And the doctor who was giving me the physical heard the murmur, and he said, you didn't have this last year. You should have this checked out. So I was having a dinner with my in-laws that night, and I made the announcement. I said, well, my goodness, I found a heart murmur. And my father-in-law said, well, with your permission, I have a friend who's a cardiologist. I'll give him a call and see when he can see you. And I said, well, of course, knowing full well, he wouldn't be able to see me for a couple of weeks. A cardiologist has got to be a busy man. And my father-in-law came in and said, he'll see you in the morning at 8. So my goose was cooked then. And, there's a point after which you're no longer in control. Because once they find these things out, I mean, they take the lead. And they just said to me, this isn't good.
That's the moment, though. Talk about that moment. You're no longer in control, but also you really have to let go of control.
You do. It was very easy for me. I did not have a choice. Yeah. I mean, when it's life or death, you really don't. They were kind to me. They didn't tell me until after the surgery how close I was to dying. They said, if you had gone into A Christmas Carol, you wouldn't have made it. Wow. You wouldn't have made it halfway through that show. So, they just said, you will be in the operating room within the week. So I didn't have a lot of time to worry. I was not concerned about the show. I knew my son had actually rehearsed for the role all of his life. I mean, he's been a part of the show since he was born, and his sister too. So Evan came in the next day, and they took over. So my job was just to prepare and to get ready for the surgery. I had brilliant people, and it's just amazing what they can do now. But the one thing I would tell all of the listeners is it is called a silent killer for a reason. I thought it was shortness of breath at night when I lay down on the bed. And I had quit smoking in July, so I thought, okay, these lungs clearing out. I mean, you're just going to blame it on everything but what it is. And I kept Googling. I kept looking for symptoms, and it kept coming back to the heart. So the thing for me was when I, you know, got to walk on stage every night, they did give me a walk-on during the show, which was great. But it really occurred to me, here was Ebenezer Scrooge who had, you know, made this transformation. His heart had changed. And for me, it was a literal change. And everything was different from that point on.
And we certainly think we know everything we need to know about that story and that play. I mean, clearly that's what the show is about. Does it change for you subtly or profoundly to see a play that we think we know very, very well in that new light?
Absolutely, it changed for me. It resonates now. It has a depth it never had before. And there's something that connects you more closely to the audience, I think, when you go through something like that. There's a great deal of love that's shared during that production. And I came out of it, and I know these are kind of platitudes, but I came out of it not sweating the little stuff anymore. I savor moments now. I enjoy people. I don't spend time to kill with people anymore. I spend time to live with them and to share with them and to listen, you know, to shut up a little bit and just let them talk and learn from them. So, yeah, I've like Scrooge, have had a change of heart, and I'm enjoying life so much more because of it.
And out of that came Confessions of an Elf.
Yes.
Would you read something for us?
I would. This is one of the more serious things the elf has to say. Every mystery of the world has a solution. All of life's great questions were answered long before we ever even began to consider them. Each answer, each solution lies simply hidden in the hearts of man. They have been within us from the beginning of time. All too frequently, however, we lose the discovery of truth to the self-imposed complexity of our desperate search to find it. In our long and arduous journeys to reach paradise, we awake to discover, often too late, that we have already passed through it many times. The real quest of the human soul has never been to find the right answers. The true quest has always been to simply determine whether we were ever asking the right questions.
Ira David Wood reading from his new book, Confessions of an Elf. And you can catch Ira now in the role as Ebenezer in A Christmas Carol, going to be performed at various dates this month, Progress Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh and the Durham Performing Arts Center. When did the idea for the book actually come to you?
As they were putting me under for the operation, literally. It was one of those things that right before I went out, I thought, I've got to put this down. I've got to save this, these feelings, and see if I can communicate them.
When you started writing them down, did it seem the same to you? Did the words look to you and have the feel to you that they did in that moment when you weren't sure if you were going to be able to write this book?
They did. I couldn't type fast enough on the computer keyboard. It really sort of poured out. And I'm sure 37, 36 years of A Christmas Carol was behind it. The experiences of knowing sometimes Christmas is a bittersweet time for people. Why is that? I wanted the elf to explain it. That Christmas morning sometime is MOURNING. And he goes into a little bit of those explanations.
And you have things in the book called, points of the book where you talk about the Biggles. Who are the Biggles?
The Biggles are adults and the Littles are children. And that's been the way I've referred to the actors and actresses in A Christmas Carol for three decades. Because we ask the Littles to think Biggle thoughts and to take on Biggle responsibilities in the show. And at the same time, we challenge the Biggles to be Littles again and to bring back that sense of wonder. You know, and that's one thing the elf says. He says, on Christmas morning, if you look at the Biggles sitting on the sofa, a lot of times behind their eyes you see sadness because they would love more than anything else in the world to sit on the floor with Littles one more time and open those Christmas presents. And that distance from the sofa to the floor is sometimes the longest distance we make in our lives. But it's so important sometimes to change that point of view, to be a child again, because the child inside of us is always there. And at Christmas time, that child wants to come out and play. And we need to create those moments where we can let that child come out and enjoy the holidays again.
We have to do things like that in our personal lives. Creatively, the challenge, it seems to me, is taking a play like A Christmas Carol. Again, we know the story, both for the actor. I mean, now talking about as an artistic enterprise, putting that thing on the stage, getting the actors to understand and feel that this isn't the story that you've seen on, you know, this ain't Mr. Magoo we're doing here.
Right. Well, the secret has always been, I think, treating them more like a family than a cast. And I say to them every year, the audience will not laugh unless it's funny to us, unless we laugh on stage and crack ourselves up. Likewise, the audience won't cry unless it means enough to us to shed tears. And I think that's the real joy of doing the show. You laugh an awful lot in the show, but there are moments when the tears come, and they are as much a part of the Christmas celebration as our laughter. And we have to welcome them, and we have to welcome those moments, and we have to kind of blow the carbon out of the pipes. And once you do that and clean the system out, you are ready for a holiday celebration, and that's what it should be.
Did it make you reflect when you had this surgery? I mean, obviously that's a biological, something's going on medically, but also, you know, there are lots of intellectual, spiritual things that are going on, psychological things that are all rooted in this. Did you see this as a medical procedure, or did you reflect on some of the things that might bear on a condition of the heart?
I never really saw it as a medical procedure. I think there were times that came home to me when you wake up and you're attached to all kinds of monitors and things like that. Also, they take the sac that surrounds the heart with fluid. And that fluid is removed in order for them to work on the heart. So when you leave, you don't have that cushion around the heart. At night, you hear your heartbeat. And to hear your heartbeat after it stopped, you know, and during the surgery, and they started again, it's a profound experience in the silence of a dark bedroom to hear your heartbeat. It's a reminder that, you know, you have a chance. You have a second chance, and we don't get those often in life, so you don't waste them.
Now, your son, Ira David Wood IV, took over for you. How did he feel about that? Fill it in.
Well, when I got the news, he was the first one I called. He came to the house, and he walked in. I said, "Hello, Mr. Scrooge." And he said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "I'm as serious as a heart attack." And it took him only a few minutes, and he stepped into the role. I'm so proud of the job he did and of the fact that the public and the cast and the crew welcomed him in and gave him that support. And what I learned is that it can continue now, that I am replaceable, and that's a nice burden off me, and that I think one day the role will go to him and he'll carry on, and I'm very proud and happy about that.
How does he feel about this year, about having to step aside?
He was very happy. He said, "Dad, you know where I was this time last year?" And I said, "Where, son?" He said, "I was out back of the theater throwing up before my first performance." He said, "So I'm glad you're back."
Doing this performance, and you have more news. You're having a baby. You're going to be a father again.
Well, you see, I'm telling you, when you come out of this life-changing experience, things really change all the way around. I'm 64. My wife is 40, and we are going to have a baby in July, and we are overjoyed. This year, this season has been a time for celebration and thanksgiving in so many ways.
Have you given thought to writing a play or turning the book into a play?
Yes. In fact, I've actually been asked by the publisher to consider doing another, you know, more confessions on the hill. So maybe.
The theatrical experience, the theatrical scene here in the stage and drama in the Triangle seems to be growing and growing. And it's a robust and varied kind of scene here. We can see the most traditional kinds of plays. There's some really edgy stuff, and it's all over the Triangle.
It is.
Tell us, because you've been here a while. Yeah. What have you seen change? How has it changed?
Well, when I first came here, when dinosaurs still roamed, there were, I think, about 6 or 8 theaters in the Triangle area. Now we have over 60. And you're exactly right. It is so healthy and so robust. And in a very real way, there is a renaissance going on here. And there is something for everyone. And don't miss it. That would be my plea to the people listening. If you're in the area, try it out. Go and sample some of the incredible offerings that we have just, you know, so close to home.
What do you think accounts for that?
Well, I think one of the reasons is because of the Triangle area, the Research Triangle. And I think that we are attracting people from all over the country, from all over the world. And these are people who locate in our area who are familiar with Broadway, who are familiar with these wonderful rep companies in the country and around the world. So the quality of our audience really improved, and they demanded a bit more excellence from the performers, which I'm proud to say have stepped up to the plate. And, you know, so it's been a wonderful cycle where give and take and growing together.
It's interesting because when you talk about the number of people coming to this area, you think about youth. These are mostly younger people, younger families. We don't associate that necessarily with the traditional theater audience. And yet they're finding the theater.
Yeah. Well, and again, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to do the version of A Christmas Carol the way we've done it. I wanted to attract young people and families to come together and be able to experience it together. It is important for us to encourage the next generation because they will be our patrons. They will be the audience of tomorrow. So I encourage all grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers and mothers out there to expose their children to the arts. Get them in there. If we get them in through the doors, we'll keep them. But you got to get them in there for us.
And there's always great roles for them, too. Would you do another reading from Confessions of an Elf?
Sure. Let's see. This is about what an elf is. All right. If a little is love, and if all of you still have a little inside of yourselves, then all of you also have the ability to love unconditionally. You never grow too old to love. You will never go so far away that love's light can't guide you safely back home again. Whenever you commit a single act of kindness, unseen or unappreciated though it may appear to be, you bring a bit more of that loving light into the world. And in that brief moment of your life, wherever you are and for whatever you're doing that's kind, you become an elf. You do. It's probably happened to you already without you even knowing it. And when it happens, when you add just one act of kindness to the world, it's as though you light a candle in some dark place, and in that instant, the true spirit of goodwill toward men becomes stronger and brighter everywhere. The love within that light pushes a little more of the darkness away. A 7-year-old once said, "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas, if you only stop opening presents and listen." And that's why Christmas time is always such a cherished time, because at least for one single day out of the entire year, we allow ourselves to reclaim the happiness of youth, whether we happen to be elves or people. And when that happens, we suddenly become wonderfully aware of things again. You can't help it. It's almost as if we were able to see, hear, touch, taste, and feel the world and everything in it for the very first time. There are three stages of a man's life. He believes in Santa Claus. He doesn't believe in Santa Claus. He is Santa Claus. So I ask you, how can people not believe in magic? How can people not believe in themselves? The world is absolutely full of elves, and you are one of them.
Ira David Wood III from his Confessions of an Elf. Ira, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Ira David Wood III, author of Confessions of an Elf, and you can catch Ira in the role of Ebenezer Scrooge at A Christmas Carol, being performed at various dates this month at Progress Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh and the Durham Arts Center. Go to theaterinthepark.com for more information. You spell theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Just ahead, we say goodbye to the Longleaf Opera. Stay with us on The State of Things.